SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
You're listening to SBS News.
In a week that began with the International Day to Combat Islamophobia, SBS's T. Mitchell spoke to Australia's Race Discrimination Commissioner at the Human Rights Commission, Giridharan Sivaraman, about Islamophobia in this country and race relations in general.
We've got a number of different data sources that confirm an increase in Islamophobia. The Islamophobia Register, which is a reputable community-based register for incidents of Islamophobia, has released a report showing a significant increase. In our recently released Racism at Uni report, we found a significant incidence of Islamophobia and racism towards Palestinians, Muslims and Arabs. So all of the data strongly supports the position that Islamophobia has increased.
Can you tell me a little bit about the forms that that takes? So when we say Islamophobia, not everyone will understand what that means or the different kind of ways it can manifest. So can you just explain, I guess, a little bit about what we mean and I suppose the spectrum of vilification, violence or negative attitudes that that kind of encompasses?
Islamophobia is racism and hatred towards Muslims, and it manifests in lots of different ways. It's important to note that it can be systemic, in that over-policing of Muslim communities, a failure to accommodate, say, Muslim cultural needs like prayer or Ramadan, they're all manifestations of Islamophobia. We also see it online with virulent anti-Muslim hate that it travels unchecked online. We see it in day-to-day abuses, particularly directed towards Muslim women and Muslim women wearing a hijab. And there's a real compounding nature of Islamophobia when it, in that it's also gendered and targets women. We see it in classrooms, we see it in workplaces, we see it on the street, so it manifests in many different areas.
You mentioned over-policing there. I will take the opportunity to ask you about the incident in New South Wales, in Sydney, at the protest during Israeli President Isaac Herzog's visit, when a group of Muslims praying were forcefully moved on by the police. How does that incident sit, to your mind, in the broader context of the issue that you're saying we have in Australia with Islamophobia? Would you say that was an example of Islamophobia, or what would be your comment on that incident and what that tells us about the kind of situation that Muslims in Australia deal with?
It was really shocking to see young men just being dragged off the pavement whilst they were peacefully praying. It's that kind of behaviour by police, as it is, it gives license to violence towards Muslims. It's a public statement of disregard towards a fundamental aspect of the Muslim religion, which is prayer. It shows a lack of cultural understanding and a real failure to ensure the cultural safety of people. And I think it unfortunately shows that amongst various levels of authority, there's still a long way to go to stamp out entrenched Islamophobia.
June 12th, the world will unite. 48 nations, 104 matches across three countries. The FIFA World Cup 2026 kicks off June 12th on SBS.
And the date of 15 March coincides with the terror attack in Christchurch in 2019. In your role as commissioner, can you tell me what you've heard about how that horrific incident perpetrated by an Australian man has impacted Australia's Muslim community? You know, from my conversations, I know that really animates how people think about Islamophobia and the kinds of risks they face and how they fit into society. Have you heard similar things? What's your understanding of the significance, the ongoing significance of the Christchurch attack?
I've engaged really extensively with the Muslim community in my time as commissioner. I'm grateful that they've given me the opportunity to do that. I don't think that anyone I've met isn't aware of the Christchurch massacre and doesn't feel some sort of connection to it, in the sense of that feeling of not being safe or being worried about going to a place of worship or being worried about some sort of mass terror attack. I think it's always there on people's minds. I think it's a real scar on the soul and identity of Muslims here in Australia, particularly because that attack was perpetrated by an Australian. And I think it's also one of the reasons why the Muslim community is sometimes frustrated in that there isn't enough action or emphasis placed on the risks to their safety or an understanding of how the rise of the far right in particular and white supremacists is such a threat to the Muslim community.
And in the release put out by the Human Rights Commission, you're calling for action from the federal government. Can you just walk me through what you're asking the government to do to be more urgent about combating Islamophobia?
A year and a half ago, we released the National Anti-Racism Framework, which was the first ever whole-of-government, whole-society roadmap to tackling racism in all its forms. Had that framework been implemented and funded, and its recommendations funded, we could have seen work to tackle Islamophobia. But as I'm talking to you now, it's yet to be endorsed, let alone funded by any level of government. And we think that the surge in anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, now more recently racism towards people of Indian origin, the mainstream of racism towards Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders, all of this just shows the urgent need for the government to endorse and fund the implementation of the National Anti-Racism Framework.
What's your understanding of why that hasn't happened? Because it has been a long time. There has been very persistent calls from different quarters for the government to act on the framework. So do you know why that hasn't happened yet?
I don't know why the government hasn't endorsed it or funded it. In my dealings with government, they say they're considering it, but that's as much as I know.
And what's your response to that? You know, obviously you would like to see it implemented with urgency. So how do you react to the way that the government is sitting on it and not acting on it, so far as can be seen from the outside?
I'm confounded by the lack of action on the National Anti-Racism Framework. It's clear that racism is a really significant issue. It's embedded into our society, and there continues to be risk to people's sense of identity, people's participation, people's economic contribution, people's physical safety. If we want to deal with those risks and allow people to thrive in our society, then we need the implementation of this framework. We can't paper over the cracks with social cohesion measures or other initiatives. We need to tackle the fundamental problem, which is racism.
June 12th, the world will unite.
48 nations, 104 matches across three countries. The FIFA World Cup 2026 kicks off June 12th on SBS.